Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning, Zoom Church. I'll try to pay a little more attention to you this time. I usually forget about you, but sorry. Someone has observed that we are a nation of maintenance men. We could add maintenance women.
Sure.
We spend much time on such things. Someone has observed that we are a nation of maintenance men and women, and we do spend a lot of time on such things as painting and repairing buildings, cutting grass, weeding the garden, repairing vehicles, washing, ironing, mending clothes, cleaning the house, the garage, the barn, and so on and so on and so on and so on. All maintenance work. I think that as believers, we should be spending more time on maintaining every aspect of our bodies, physical, mental, emotional, to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body is a temple, a sanctuary, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We are temple keepers for the King of Kings. What a privilege and what a responsibility to keep our temples in top shape as an act of worship to the one who made us. I'm going to touch on a few maintenance areas, and if some of these seem to be talking to you, I'm not preaching at you. I had to listen to this first, and I've had to make a few adjustments in my lifestyle since listening to my own sermon. So, what do we probably think of first when we think of looking after our bodies?
Food,
right? What we eat. That's right. As has been said, we are what we eat. And there's a lot of truth in that. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And it's not just how much we eat, but it's also what we eat. Just because we're not overweight doesn't mean that we're eating healthily. We're a nation of sugar eaters. It's been estimated that the average American, and I think you could say Canadian as well, consumes 150 pounds of sugar per year. Now, if you take 50 adult years, which is a pretty moderate estimate, that's 7,500 pounds. That's almost 4 tons in a lifetime. Now, that doesn't mean that we're sitting at the table just spooning the sugar out of the sugar bowl, right? Sugar is in almost everything we buy. You have to watch the labels. Food abuse is a form of substance abuse.
Yes.
And it has serious consequences. Energy loss, poor sleep patterns, memory loss, disease, malnutrition, early aging. None of us wants any of that. And yet, some simple changes can produce some pretty interesting results. Some time ago, over 300 people were involved in a study in which they agreed for 6 weeks to simply eat more whole grains, more fruit, and more vegetables, and walk for 30 minutes a day. The results were astounding. Those with high cholesterol saw a 12% drop. Those with diabetes, a 38% improvement in insulin dependence. Those with high blood pressure, a 60% drop in blood pressure readings. All because of 42 days of eating the right foods and walking for 30 minutes. So I ask myself, do I want the Holy Spirit to live in a body not properly fed and therefore not functioning at its best? Can I give top service to my master with a body suffering from food abuse? Another area of temple maintenance is sleep and rest. Charles Spurgeon once said that many spiritual ills could be solved if we'd simply get a good night's sleep. Tiredness makes us resentful, bitter, petty, angry, and worse. Because during sleep, our body repairs itself, as you know, and the mind files away and absorbs the day's learning. But if we are sleep deprived, here are some of the things we may suffer. We can't remember. We can't concentrate. We can't make decisions. We make careless mistakes. We're irritable, moody, anxious, and depressed. We have lower immunity to infections, poor blood sugar control, weight gain or loss, poor athletic performance, and we're more likely to have a heart attack or a stroke. Drowsiness at the wheel causes thousands of traffic accidents, injuries, and deaths each year. Now, it may be more complicated than just getting a good night's sleep. You may have medical problems or some sleep disorders, but we owe it to ourselves to get help. So I ask myself, do I want the Holy Spirit to live in a sleep-deprived body? Can I serve the King well when I don't get enough sleep? Now, although food and rest are significant factors in temple maintenance, there's another area that's often neglected. And what would that be?
Spiritual.
Do I hear exercise? Mm-hmm. Oh, I hope I did. Dr. Walter Bartz was a pioneer in lifestyle medicine. And he said there is no single medicine that can overcome the range of conditions, and this would be bodily ills, than exercise can do. It's the one single addresser to our bodily conditions. Exercise not only makes us physically fit, but it increases our confidence, our self-discipline, we have better relationships, and we have better emotional health. It helps control weight, heart issues, arthritis, diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and it increases our strength. Not too long ago, I came across a very interesting article in a publication which I respect very much. It's a publication that aims at reporting the truth, whatever it may be, and is prepared to address anyone who disagrees with the facts or else to change their message. Exercise is the most important medicine for COVID-19, according to a recent review published in Current Sports Medicine Reports. More than 6.4 million deaths globally have been attributed to COVID as of September of 22. Vaccinations, boosters, hand washing, social distancing, and masking have proved ineffective for many. I don't think we would argue with that. With fully vaccinated individuals becoming infected and experiencing anywhere from mild symptoms to adverse outcomes, including extended hospital stays and even death. As new mutations continue to arrive, some researchers believe that it's time to focus on exercise as a first line strategy.
Yes.
In preventing and treating COVID-19 and long COVID. There's clinical evidence that by consistently meeting exercise guidelines, people can reduce hospitalization for COVID-19 by up to 42%, ICU admission by up to 38%, and death by up to 83%. Right across the population, including those with and without chronic conditions. Here's a few facts of COVID-19 versus exercise. COVID attacks your cardiovascular system with increased incidence of blood clotting and high blood pressure, inflammation of the coronary arteries. Exercise, on the other hand, has anti-inflammatory effects. It improves our circulation. COVID virus enters the respiratory tract and spreads all throughout it. Exercise, especially aerobic activity, fights lung conditions. COVID attacks the nervous system with headaches and loss of smell, right up to severe neurological disorders, such as sudden weakness and numbness. Exercise can enhance the growth and development of brain tissue and improve our mood and cognition. Regarding our immune system, with COVID-19, symptoms get worse if we have weak immune systems to start with, and that's been proven, that if you go in at compromised already, then it's really bad news. Exercise, on the other hand, increases and mobilizes immune cells into the bloodstream and may directly stimulate the immune system. Finally, COVID-19 can cause multi-organ damage. Your heart, your lungs, liver, kidneys, pancreas, and spleen. It also damages the cells that produce energy in our body. Exercise, on the other hand, stimulates the bone marrow to generate immune cells and release cells that help grow and heal blood vessels. It cleans up the damaged cells to optimize energy production. Thank you for bearing with me as I went through all those things, but I felt they were worth sharing. And if you remember just a few of them, or remember the general message of getting exercise, so be it. But I must warn you, as they often do, before embarking on some serious exercise program, especially if you haven't been inclined that way, please be careful. See your doctor. Ask God for wisdom, okay? Go at it gently. Remember, it was 30 minutes a day of walking, not 5 miles, right? So I asked myself, do I want the Holy Spirit to live in a sluggish, unfit, out-of-shape body? Can I serve the King of Kings well when I don't exercise? A fourth and last area that I want to think about with regard to temple maintenance is our emotions, our thoughts, and our words. We all know that these things affect our health. The Bible certainly says so. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart, which is the site of emotions, with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise promotes health. In other words, our words are powerful components of health and healing. We have to watch what we say. We can't pray, God, heal me, and then go about telling how ill we are. Mm-hmm. Our words work against us. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Mm-hmm. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Or, as someone has said, the core of who you are is evidenced by the thoughts or roots of your heart. Not necessarily by the words you say, because the two could be different. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. I find that I need to check my thoughts and feelings regularly and, you know, really come against those that are harmful. I need to avoid stress. Dr. Jordan Rubin says, unmanaged stress can kill you, period. It may be the single most important trigger of heart attacks. Stress can lead to headaches, weight loss or gain, skin eruptions, sluggish thinking, lack of ambition, digestive problems, muscle aches, and outright disease. We need to avoid fear. We are told in the Bible again, and it's not just an option, it's a command, fear not, right? And yet I don't think we take that very seriously. Fear can be the beginning of cardiovascular disease, hypertension, digestive tract problems, headaches, skin disorders, again, frequent infections, outright disease. In a previous message, I shared with you that according to an old Oriental legend, a desert traveler met fear and plague one night on their way to Baghdad to kill 10,000 persons. The traveler asked, Plague, do you do all the killing? Plague replied, oh no, I kill only a few hundred. Fear takes care of the rest. Fear can kill us because it can just take over our whole system and paralyze it. Now, while we need to guard against the harmful emotions and thoughts, we also need to cultivate the beneficial. For example, here's what happens when we laugh. Here's the physical effects. It boosts your immunity. It lowers your stress hormones. It decreases pain, relaxes your muscles, prevents heart disease. Here's some of the mental health benefits of laughter. It adds joy and zest to your life. It eases anxiety and tension. It relieves stress. It improves your mood. It strengthens your resilience. It increases creativity and flexibility, and it aids in problem solving. Wow, let's start laughing. Social benefits, strengthens relationships, attracts others to us, enhances teamwork, helps diffuse conflict. Haven't you seen that happen time and time again? Promotes group bonding. It's been said and estimated that children laugh about 146 times a day. Adults, 4. What a sad lot we are. Children smile about 400 times a day.
Yes.
Adults, 25. Let's be the exception, right? So I ask myself, do I want the Holy Spirit to live in a body controlled by harmful thoughts, words, and emotions? Can God be glorified when I'm fearful, stressed, and haven't learned to relax, to trust, to laugh? Well, how do we become good temple keepers? No magic bullet. The key is that bad word, discipline. Self-control. Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Self-control is our wall of defense against harmful desires and attitudes. Proverbs 8:33, mark a life of discipline and live wisely. Don't squander your precious life. Galatians 5:23 lists self-control among the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. It's not easy to train our bodies, but we have to take the initiative. We can't expect God to just come down and dump all the solutions into our lap and change us overnight. He doesn't do it. That wouldn't be good for us anyway, right?
We can't handle it.
We won't be able to handle it. That's right. We have to learn it ourselves. In the practice of godliness, Jerry Bridges says, a large part of learning self-control is breaking bad habits and replacing them with good ones. And this process always involves a certain amount of failure. So we can kind of expect it. I know that when I've embarked on a better program of whatever, exercise, eating, for the first while, and maybe you have too, it seems to get worse. Because you're trying to get rid of an old habit, but you haven't established the new one yet. You're in kind of a gray area, and it can be really discouraging, but keep on. Because help is available. God wants us healthy. He's on our side. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as the soul prospers. So he wants the whole part of us to be healthy. Proverbs 3:7-8, do not be wise in your own eyes, that is, get your wisdom from God. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Well, where do we get all this encouragement about fearing the Lord and departing from evil? In his word, of course. That's where our main help is. And then we can get help from other sources. Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That's your medicine, right in the Word of God, right? God is on our side, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation, not even that wonderful, luscious second piece of cake, has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And sometimes it's because he's given you two legs to walk away, right? Okay. Sometimes that escape is just common sense. If you're tempted by food, leave the room. Go start doing something else. And isn't it amazing how that desire just passes when you focus on something else? Well, all God's commandments, as in 1 Corinthians 6:20, where we are to glorify God in our body, are for our benefit, even though they may not be for our initial comfort. Being good temple keepers is a win-win situation. God is honored, and we are healthy, fit, rested, and relaxed. In fact, I think that believers should be among the healthiest and happiest people in the world.
Amen.
Why not? We have so much to be happy about, and we have so many resources to help us improve and maintain our health. A simple prescription for wellness was given by J.F. Clark, an American clergyman, some 200 years ago. Here's what he says. Never hurry. Take plenty of exercise. Always be cheerful. Take all the sleep you need. And you may expect to be well. Notice he didn't mention food. Probably because 200 years ago there wasn't sugar in everything, and they were lucky if they had enough food, and they were out working off their excess calories, right? We would have to add food to that one. Now, I read Romans 12:1 from the New King James Version, and I'm just going to read it to you again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And sacrifice involves some pain, right? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And now I'm going to read it from the Message, and I remember Pastor Keith did it a few weeks ago, and he said how refreshed he was by it. I really like this too. So, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. That covers those four territories, right, that we talked about? And place it before God as an offering. This is my best.
Amen.
Yeah. Embracing what God has done for you is the best thing you can do for Him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, help us to become better temple keepers. Help us to discipline our lives so that we can proudly present our bodies as offerings that you are pleased to receive. Amen.